Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as you can tell from our readings, we are preparing for the last days. And in 2 weeks, we start the season of Advent. Jean, I don't know if you're used to celebrating Advent.
Yes.
Okay, so you know what it is then. Well, Advent is not only the coming of Jesus at Christmas time, but it's also the second coming of Jesus. And it's the only time of year we celebrate the second coming, the reason we're here, to get ready for that return of Jesus. So our gospel today is the parable of the talents. Now, the thing is, talent is a word that has a different meaning for us today, doesn't it? But the talent as a unit of value is mentioned in the New Testament in Jesus' parable of the talents. The use of the word talent to mean gift or skill in English and other languages originated from interpretation of this parable sometime late in Luke in the 13th century. All right, so that, according to the church, is a fairly new idea. Of course, we say that that's 700 years ago, but in the church, that's new. All right, so one talent equals 100 denarii, and each denarii equals 60 shekels. Well, that's great, so what does that mean? We'll get to that in a minute. But there's another parable where Jesus shares with us where a servant who was forgiven that debt of 10,000 talents by his Lord and Master goes out, and he refuses to forgive another servant who owes him 100 denarii. So the talent is also used elsewhere in the Bible as when describing the material invested in the Ark of the Covenant. Solomon received 666 gold talents a year. I find that number interesting, don't you? All right, so a talent was equal to 9 years of labor. I mean, so that's really quite a bit of money. So let's put it in today's terms. If we assume a living salary is $50,000, 9 years times 50 would be $450,000, so almost $500,000. So over the five talents, the person who was given would be the value of $2,250,000. Quite a bit of money. But that money is not the focus of the parable. It's how the talents are handled by the three servants of the master. So the one who has five doubles his to 10. The one that has two doubles his to 4. And then we have that third servant. He lived in fear of his master. He lived in fear of the master's anger if he lost the money. So that servant buried the talent and didn't make any attempt to serve his master. Well, my friends, there's the sin, is not even making the attempt. You know, Jesus tells us we don't have to succeed, but we have to try. And I think this parable is telling us that. I mean, if he had gone out and tried and even raised it a little bit so there was some interest, the master would have been happy. But he didn't even make the attempt. My friends, isn't this what we're also facing on that day of judgment? If we make no attempt to serve our master, to serve our God, you know, we're going to have to give or face Jesus on that day to give an account of our lives. How do we make this real to us? Well, there was a movie that came out about 20 years ago. Starred Albert Brooks, Meryl Streep. It's called Defending Your Life. How many of you have seen it? Okay, it's actually not too bad. After being killed in a car crash, Daniel Miller, who is played by Albert Brooks, he finds himself in Judgment City. It's a waiting area for the newly deceased. And while there, one must prove in a courtroom-style process that he successfully overcame his fears and served the Lord. Successfully overcame his fears. That's what the third servant did not do, did he? Overcome his fears. And I got to thinking, isn't this what a lot of us are doing right now with our fear of COVID? As my father said, if you live your fears, you fear to live. But yet, when there is a danger, like with the virus, is this fear different than what the defense of our life will be on the day of judgment? Good question, isn't it? And I think that's one we all have to answer individually. Again, God asks us to try, to give our best. And so what's our guide for this trying? How do we know what we're supposed to do? Well, I think our clue is in Galatians 5. Let me read this to you. This is what Apostle Paul writes. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I wonder if you could add a few more to that list. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, walk with the Spirit of God. Let him be with you. Let him into your life. Let him lead you to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we did that all the time, wouldn't that be fun? With everyone? But that's not our human nature, is it? So, I think our goal then is to try and live with that Spirit of God. And the biggest clue to me is in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Christ suffered for us on the cross. He died, right? He descended in the death or descended in the hell, however you want to do that Apostles' Creed. But yet he rose again. So we too descend in the death, and we too will rise with him again. But like the three servants, we're going to have to give an accounting of our life, aren't we? So even though we live in the gospel, the law is still there. But yet, Paul just told us that if we live in the Spirit of God, we're not under the law, correct? So in other words, he's telling us that if we live in the Spirit, do we have to worry about the day of judgment? No. But again, you've got to try. He's not putting it on you that you have to do this and this and this to earn your way into heaven. I talked about that last week. We don't earn our way. It's freely given if we ask for forgiveness. So, when we give our accounting to Christ that day, Let's live in that spirit of God. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we can share that with Jesus. We won't have to worry. We can rest assured that we will rise with him and experience eternal life with Jesus in heaven. My friends, may this promise of eternal life keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our